You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Our final presentation will be by Joana Marquez, who will look at the emancipatory as well as the sustainability potential of social and solidarity economy. Joana?
Thank you. So first I would like to greet the conference organizers and thank for the opportunity to present my work here. I will present a comparative study on the cases of Portugal and Brazil, which illustrates different trends and challenges that social and solidarity economy faces, and highlight my theoretical problem that is, does social and solidarity economy merely addresses the state and market failures? Does it provide an alternative model to current neoliberal patterns? Or it is just another facet of contemporary capitalism? I will skip the presentation of the concept that has already been addressed so that we have more time at the end and move on. So Brazil and Portugal illustrate different dynamics in this process of social and solidarity economy. The available data from these two countries, they use different conceptual and methodological approaches, so it makes it very difficult to compare, and that is a problem and a challenge that we all have to face in our studies. So Portugal is a country in the semi-periphery of the world system with a fragile welfare state, and where the emergence of social economy is dated from the 19th century, so that the second cooperative law in the world is the Portuguese. However, the relatively low degree of industrialization and urbanization and the strong presence of the Catholic Church have prevented these movements from reaching a development as strong as in other contexts. A distinctive feature of the Portuguese context in comparison to other countries is an unusual large share of organizations that provide social assistance. And the debates on social and solidarity economy in Portugal have been particularly encouraged by a very popular scholar, Amaro, who has developed a holistic concept of solidarity economy around eight dimensions that are developed in my paper, so you can look further there. The idea is that this multidimensional approach focuses on the potential of social and solidarity economy in terms of a holistic and integrated model, much in line with the idea of the solidarity not only among human beings but also with other living beings. Empirically, in Portugal, social and solidarity economy tends to be related to a welfare mix complement to the private and public sectors. And it is so dominated by welfare services, and its main protagonists are supposed to be communities along with their support networks, social assistants, development agents, and local development associations. Portugal has recently created the Satellite Accounts of Social Economy and approved the Bill on Social Economy, which strengthens its consecration within the country's legal system. However, the country only recognizes formal organizations, while Brazil also includes informal groups. So, differently, in Brazil, social and solidarity economy is clearly advocated as an alternative to the social and work relations of capitalism, characterized by exploitation, competition, and commodification. In recent years, Brazil has evolved from a periphery of the world system whose historic function was to provide elements for the capital accumulation in the center, to a clear insertion in the new global capitalism with impressive growth rates. However, this newly economic development occurs in an extremely unequal society in which it prevails a large part of the population living in poverty and the precarious working class. So this is a fertile ground for the emergence of social and solidarity economy. So in Brazil, the idea of building solidarity economy is emphasized through the large number of associative experiences, the experience of bankrupt companies recovered by workers, formal and informal community groups, solidarity finance as well. A Brazilian specificity is that there is a clear recognition of the concept of solidarity economy, while in the other countries there is a fight between third sector and other alternative notions. According to the Brazilian perspective, the main protagonists of social and solidarity economy are the workers. As Professor Schindler defines, they are seen as historical subjects in social transformation. Here, the self-management and the productive character of the initiatives are essential features, which is not so much the case in Portugal. In addition, it is also close to unions and labor movements. According to the data available, the creation of solidarity economy in Brazil, the main reason stated for the creation of solidarity economy in Brazil is having an alternative to unemployment. Nevertheless, different studies also identify another trend in the development of Brazilian solidarity economy, which is clearly business-oriented, a set of initiatives promoted by businesses, firms, and states that use the form of solidarity economy with the objective of lowering costs, acting as subcontractors for private companies or as providers of public services. So this leads us to one of the theoretical issues, the relation with the production of welfare. So in Portugal and Brazil, the welfare state is weak. In both countries, economic restructuring and adoption of neoliberal policies have resulted in the privatization of state companies and flexibility of the labor market. In Portugal, the implementation of recent severe government spending cuts is to some extent mitigated through the articulation with other forms of social welfare, such as solidarity economy. In Brazil, the public authorities traditionally provide weak services concentrated in the most disadvantaged sectors of the population. So the analysis on the way the production of welfare is distributed between the institution, state, market, and family, as theorized by Spink Anderson, allows identifying two main roles of social and solidarity economy in these countries. One trend, very strong in Portugal, is the outsourcing of welfare policies to social and solidarity economy organizations regulated and partially financed by the state. Another trend, more present in Brazil, is the development of market-oriented forms of social and solidarity economy in which the generation of revenue is a central part of the initiatives, such as cooperatives, which operate in the market and are exposed to its rules. Also, drawing on the notion of decommodification, we also observe two conflicting movements. On the one hand, social and solidarity economy extends social rights to certain individuals independently of their market participation, in the sense of decommodification. On the other hand, it also commodifies certain sectors by allowing capital expansion to sectors that were outside the market, such as community groups and associations or family farmers. Another issue is that of work relations and social and solidarity economy. Inequality and precariousness are main features of capitalist work relations. Therefore, in order to be a true alternative to this system of domination, the experience of social and solidarity economy would not be characterized by these features, nor replicate asymmetric or oppressive relations. From the point of view of work organizations, unlike Taylorism or lean production, in which workers are detached from the product of their work, social and solidarity economy would have the advantage of being based on the workers' self-management, autonomy, and collective ownership. However, these are not unproblematic concepts. On the ground, we find many initiatives that do not provide suitable conditions of social protection for its workers and reproduce the symmetric relations of capitalism. Moreover, according to some critics, the development of new forms of social and solidarity economy as a consequence of the capitalist crisis has broken with the universality of public policy in favor of fragmented collective identities. If on the one hand, market fails to deliver social protection and collective goods, on the other, the transfer of public welfare to social and solidarity economy organizations means to some extent a loss in the social rights achieved from decades of working class struggles turned into private and precarious services. So this results in the establishing, to some extent, this results in the establishment of a new ideology of entrepreneurship and self-accountability, which to some extent legitimates the capitalist mode of production, exchange, and consumption, or, as Professor Coraggio mentioned, a capitalism of the poor. So our presence of a genuine solidarity and a true project of social change, or a forced solidarity as a means of the adaptation of to the capitalist crisis. From the cases of Portugal and Brazil, social and solidarity economy faces a struggle between its project of social emancipation and the dominant social patterns to which it adapts, thus contributing to its reproduction. We know that even emancipatory movements contain within themselves elements of reproduction. So the existence of stable social patterns over long periods demands examining the ways in which these patterns are recreated in social action. If on the one hand the counter-hegemonic trend is present, on the other hand, the analysis shows that some developments of social and solidarity economy end up as alternative forms of the capitalist business world. Therefore, to conclude, we envisage the development of social and solidarity economies in three ways. One is market-oriented, comprising initiatives that adopt forms of social and solidarity economy with the objective of lowering costs or benefiting from tax exemption and others subsidized from the state. And a related version of this trend is linked to initiatives developed by strictly to fight against unemployment of the surplus workers without an associated educational or cultural project. Many of these initiatives do not provide suitable conditions of social protection, are characterized by precarious labor, and eventually replicate the symmetric relations typical of capitalism. So in this case, solidarity economy is just another facet of capitalism. Another trend is the development of social and solidarity economy as an approach for the delivery of welfare or a methodology of local development. In this perspective, it is complement to the state and the market, contributing to social cohesion while addressing state and market failures. The issue here is that often the projects are not discussed with its basis. Therefore, it is essentially the strategy of associative vitality in terms of their basis and the renewal of leaders for an effective and shared construction. Finally, a third trend is present in grassroots initiatives that embody a conscious project of social transformation, aiming to develop forms of resistance to neoliberal globalization, to attack the power of capital, and to present an alternative for the workers' social inclusion. In spite of the many challenges they face, they put into practice the principles of self-management and collective ownership, prefiguring the democratic management of collective affairs that must be central to any progressive alternative. We are still at the level of idealization, but with a practical proposal and commitment towards a collective project. We often find this situation in workers who have some relationship with unionism, thus have a clear political project and see self-management as a revolutionary approach of new relations between capital and labor. However, for a true emancipation, this change in work relations should be extended to social relations. So, thus, in Portugal and Brazil, social and solidarity economy works within capitalism. But despite all the challenges it faces and that I raised, it tries to follow a different logic from the capitalist one and as the alternative energy needed to be conceived as a part of a post-capitalist horizon. Thank you all very much.
Check out our other podcasts, available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.